This morning, you are receiving the beginning of the Joduk lineage. Jorwa means something like implementation or application, and Duk means six. So the Jorwa Duk means six implementation or six application. And what does this supposed to mean is, this lineage, the practice is somehow divided into three steps, body, speech, mind, and then each into two, therefore two, two, two makes six. And first is about the body. That is all the thoughts and all the defilements, which is like you throw a bag of bean in a courtyard, so it will be all over. So our thoughts and our defilements are all over. And so first one is to somehow make it neat, so that you pull them all together, and instead of just a messy field of bean, you make it into one very nice toma. Then it becomes something useful and something sacred, right? So it is like that. So, or sordu means, so means separate, one by one. And dupa means put together. So, which is very much like a shine practice. And the second of the first is, the result of that is a stable mind, something, contemplative mind, meditative mind, stable mind. So so that is the second. So first is like a shine, and second is like a result of the shine, which is pretty much like a satong. But satong is maybe, if I say word satong here, maybe it is a little bit gets far-fetched, because there is four more to come, you know. So there is a sixth dharma. So the two of them is these two, and second is related with the speech. So the first is soksol. Soksol, sok means life, sol means effort. So what does that mean? Effort or giver of the life, or the effort of the life. And this means breathing, and so the breathing practice. That is nadi, prana, bindu practice. So that is the second. And third is result of that, which is tenpa, is maybe the most easiest terminology for me to translate. Tenpa means like aware. And this is like, as the result of the breathing practice, the breathing is centralized, and the most important, we call it life force, or the life air, is remaining in the central channel. Then when that happens, then naturally everything is in order, and everything is stable. And you will be stronger than a thousand elephants, you know. And if I say it in a superficial manner, you will be stronger than a thousand elephants. If the life force, the life air, is in the central channel fully. And at all time, then it will be like this. And then, of course, don't try it at home, because it is very, very, very dangerous. Because there's only one way to get it right, and countless ways to get it wrong. So when it gets wrong, then you know, I think most of you know what can happen. So if you don't know, I tell you, you know, the most lightest and most kind outcome will be, you will be twitching like an idiot at all times, you know, and so that will be the result of it. But that will be a very kind one. And then if it goes worse than that, then, you know, until you die, almost nothing can be done. Because this life, we only have one life force, which is tangible, and mind is beyond that. Mind is beyond that. But this is part of the body. This is part of the universal energy. And if you get it wrong, very difficult to fix it. There's no doctor for it. There's no hospital for it. Only guru can fix it. But you will have very strange ideas about your guru if it goes wrong. So therefore, you will never get it right. I cannot say never, but almost 99% and 99 point you will not get it right. Because the most important thing have gone wrong. So then, how can you get anything right? So, very little chance. So therefore, please don't try the breathing practice beyond Parlung at home without knowing what you are doing and without proper instructions. Pumchin is also the key to it, but even you do Pumchin, you do it in 3 years retreat, or you do it with a very, very serious consideration and clear instruction for a short period of time, maybe a couple of weeks, and not more than that. And so this, you shouldn't get excited about the Salun practice. I sense that lots of new Buddhists, regardless of whether you are from East or whether you are from West or you are whether from North or South, but there's only two, because that is how superficial the human beings are, Oriental and Occidental. No, but what is Oriental? What is Occidental? I don't know. No. What is Ori about it? What is Oxy about it? I don't know. But anyway, that's what everybody says. It's okay. And so the Salun practice is not something that you should get excited about. Now, the fifth and sixth aspect is related with the mind. That is directly translates as remembering. But it is not just remembering dualistically, but the result of the fourth, which remains and which is a fruition. So you are remaining in that. That is we call otherwise a great joy. Great joy, you know. And some people are happy at all time. Some people are happy at all time. And some people are sad at all time. And that is karma, of course. But some people who are happy at all time is definitely result of good karma than the some person who is unhappy at all time. You know? And you can say that somebody is unhappy at all time because somebody has compassion to all sentient beings, so that all sentient beings are suffering, so the person is unhappy at all time. That is rubbish. That's nonsense. Because if that is the case, then Avalokiteshvara will be the saddest person. But Avalokiteshvara always is smiling. Look at the Lord Maitreya, always smiling. And even the eye is smiling. Do you know how to smile your eye? Yeah. So, the Buddha is smiling. Eye, ear, nose, mouth. You know, everything is smiling at all times. And the great joy is the fifth. And the sixth is the union of great joy and emptiness. So, of course, great joy is, of course, without attachment, but great joy with emptiness means non-dualistic, primordial joy. Can you comprehend that? Intellectually, you can. Because you are learned. You know, in India, we call it paralika. Paralika. Paralika means people who learn how to read and how to write. So in English, it means literate, not illiterate. Literate. So you are paralika. So therefore, you know what I mean. You know what I say. But of course, you have to understand what I mean. And so that is another wise. Tingyanzen means remaining unwavered, remaining unshaken. Remaining unshaken and what? You know? So that is the joy and emptiness inseparable, non-dualistic state. Remaining in it at all time. So that is the sixth. So that is what Jorpu means. And the source of this teaching is the Kalachakra Tantra, which is the essence of the highest of the Tantra, Nandurlana Mepa in Tibetan. So in Sanskrit, I think it is Ati Yoga, Ati Yoga, Mahayoga, Anuttara Yoga, Ati Yoga, I think. So Ati Yoga, the highest of the old Tantra. So that is Kala Chakra. It is 12,000 verses. Each verses have four sentences. So 12,000 verses, Kala Chakra. And Hey Vajra, 500,000 shaloka, Chakra Sambara, 100,000 shaloka, and Guhe Samaja, 25,000 shaloka, and then Yamantaka, 36,000 shaloka, and Great Miracle, Jumtru Chenmo, which is 16,000 shaloka. So these sacred tantras, the essence of that is the Jodhu. And now the lineage of this is Buddha manifests as Kala Chakra. So when Buddha manifests Kala Chakra, it is manifested to the king of the Shambhala kingdom, and whose name was Dawazangpo, and Rigden Dawazangpo in Shambhala. And Buddha manifest above all the mandala of stars, below the mandala of the speech, the sound, and the middle, the mandala of the wheel of time, the Buddha Kalachakra. And in this, we have to call it empowerment, but it is not the kind of empowerment that we are participating, you know. Because Rigden Dawa Zangbo, in this empowerment, attained enlightenment on the same seat on which he was sitting. He got enlightened. So it is very different from the kind of empowerment that we are participating, relatively speaking, because I am relative, you are relative, everything is relative. So in this, I don't have manifestation of Kala Chakra. Do you see me as a Kala Chakra? I don't think so. And do you see the sound mandala of the sound beneath me? No. You see a big wooden box made by Nurbulinka. That's what you see beneath me. And then above me you see very nice, you know, the Maitreya Buddha made by a very accomplished artist. So this way you don't see the mandala of the star above me, mandala of the sound beneath me, and mandala of the time in me. You don't see that. It is in the altar on a canvas, and the empowerment that will be given to you will be given by Eminent Rinpoche, because I'm afraid to get sick, and I'm afraid to get sick for you. Actually, for me, I like to get sick, because when I get sick, you know, I get healthier. Why? Because I take very good care of me when I get sick. When I'm not sick, I don't take care of me, so I have very bad health, you know. But when I have sickness, I have a very good health. So that way, I personally rather get small sickness like cold and all this kind of thing, because it is very good for me. But of course, in this situation, if I get sick, then all of you will be stand it. You know, all of you will be stand it, and then that is not right thing. So therefore, I bother all the Eminent Rinpoches to give you the Eminent Rinpoches and Venerable Rinpoches to give you the blessings. So this way, it is quite different, relatively speaking. Of course, ultimately saying, there's no difference between this tantra that I'm transmitting to you and the tantra that Buddha transmitted to Rigden Dawa Zangbo. There's no difference. There's only one difference. Because from the entire Kala Chakra Tantra, only one chapter is available to us. You know, lots of people think that the entire Kala Chakra Tantra, which is bestowed by the Buddha to the Rigden Dawa Zangbo, is translated into Sanskrit, and then it is translated into Tibetan. That's not true. Only one chapter out of that great, enormous tantra. Only one chapter. But that one chapter have everything. So the Kala Chakra empowerment that you will receive today, and also the grand Kala Chakra empowerment of our lineages in the Jachin Kanzu, the next treasure of Jangun Kongpo Rinpoche, Jachin Kanzu, which I will be conducting at the request of everyone next year. So in that, the grand Kala Chakra is there, but here the kind of brief, short aspect of it. And this lineage came to Tibet first, four, then second, five, and then later, two. And that way it really spread, and it spreads into 17 sub-lineages. So it was a great flourishing lineage. But then later, I can't say it somehow did not flourish, but it somehow dissolved into everything. So then, which is continued by a great master, which is prophesied by Buddha in the sutra known as the Great Drum. In that sutra, Buddha prophesied one great master. His name was Tolpo Pa Shirab Jalchen. And then also great enlightened master Taranatha. So these great masters have continued this lineage. And of course, later, the Jangung Kontul Lodur Thaye put it together in the Damwanzu and Jachin Kanzu, etc. So this way, it is preserved and continued up to today. So that is a brief description of what the Jodhup lineage is. And which you will be, we are starting today and completing today. The first empowerment that you will receive is three higher empowerments of the Kalachakra nine deities. And then next is Kalachakra, spontaneously arising Kalachakra empowerment. And third is the empowerment of the protector, wrathful aspect, which is known as Dorje Shuk. And Dorje Shuk is Kalachakra deity. And it's very interesting because auspicious. Because last year I have there is a mural on the top floor of the shrine of all eight lineages. So in the Jodhup lineage is Kalachakra, and then beneath there the Kalachakra, the great protector, the wrathful Dorje Shuk, which looks like Kalachakra. But wrathful form. And then somebody with a very powerful tool carved it out by mistaking it for something else. Similar name, I guess. So Jishuk, you know, Shuk. So then the person does not really know. So they just got neurotic and carved it out. And have to work very hard because it is solid concrete. And I was not really upset, but I was shocked. And at the same time, very sad because somebody is so ignorant and did such a thing. You know, cut the head off, cut the legs off, cut the arms off of such a great protector. And you don't do things like that, you know. It is holy. How do you call it? Vandalism, you know. So that is fixed this year because it is very difficult to fix, and this fixed. And right now it is about to be finished. Yesterday almost finished, and right now about to be finished. And by the time you are receiving this empowerment, that will be fixed. So this is interesting. It meant to be this way. It meant to be defaced, and it meant to be fixed, and it happened to be fixed when you are receiving the empowerment. So it's interesting. And anyway, you participate in this with the utmost sincere devotion. And at most sincere bodhicitta, then we all receive blessings of this transmission.